This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can always keep up with everything going on here at 929 FM ESPN by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. All you have to do is go download the app from your app store, search for 92.9, click to subscribe, and then you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. If you miss a segment, you can go back and rewind, listen to a previous segment. You can also listen to previous other episode shows. You can do it all there on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. It's Monday, so that means my company is, of course, the team director and the head coach of Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. He's on Twitter, on X, at Dream Big Herd. Coach, good day, sir.
Great day, great week always. Good weekend of football, sports period.
Well, big weekend of sports, just in general. I thought, yeah, we had another good Saturday, I thought, of college football. The early slate of the NFL was really good. The 3:25 slate. This is like the second straight week where, not good. Herd's Niners, not great. We need McCaffrey back, right? Well, we need like, okay, so Ayuk's now. Do we get confirmed? I think it was ACL.
So it's two ACL?
I think Ayuk's ACL. Debo tried to go, but I feel like every time I looked up, he wasn't on the field. We got Ricky Pearsall out there who was shot 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a good player, but I mean, like that. And then you still have the McCaffrey injury. Brock looked like he was in hell yesterday. It was not a fun day. But and then we got the. Now we're at the point where anytime the Jets play, it's just such a circus that you have to watch. And then we got Tomlin makes the decision to go with Russ. I'm in the category of if any other coach does that, I'm going, what are you doing? Because you looked fine, but Mike Tomlin's earned it for me. Like, he gets the right. The guy has proven that he can manage locker rooms, that he can manage all those types of situations. I thought Russ got away with a lot of throws, and it kind of worked out. But at the same time, like, that's kind of the magic. So we'll discuss a little bit of that. But I wanted to start more with some college football, including the Tigers. We also have big wins from the Vols. Georgia gets a big win. Miami was in a bit of a trap spot, a spot that a lot of people thought they'd be in trouble going to Louisville. So I wanted to discuss kind of some big picture stuff from college football. 2:35, we'll get into Tiger basketball. Jason Munns is going to join the program. We will get Jason's thoughts on what is happening with Tyreek Smith. A lot of he said, she said, or he said, maybe at this point, Herd. I know you were away this weekend, so I don't know how much you kept up. But it felt to me a lot like the, other than it wasn't clearly as orchestrated to be, stories told through the media, it felt like the UNLV quarterback situation where one camp saying one thing, another camp saying something. I don't know if there's really someone's at fault. I mean, I think there's also the other possibility at this point. It seems like maybe Tyreek is still going to stay. I don't know. We'll ask Munns everything that's going on. Also, Munns has a podcast up he did with Jonah Dillon in which they discussed the North Carolina scrimmage. So we'll discuss that with Munns as well. 305, we'll get into the list. Hurd was out in Vegas for a big Nike NIL state of the college landscape. How would you define it? It was a big conference. You had 80s, you had agents, NIL. Like, how would you describe the conference?
Very, very unique, very formal. You had, I think I seen you, the list is not in front of me. You had, you had some grassroots guys there. You had college personnel there, from coaches to ADs to administrators. You had agents there. You had maybe boosters there. You had people. You had companies there that is doing NIL with certain schools.
Yeah.
Of course, you had, Woj there. You had some pretty good people there just trying to empower and unite on the best landscape to continue college sports at the highest level. And when you say the highest level, when I say this, I like to be neutral, Jeffrey. It is mostly, and I heard this from like every AD that came up there, most of their school funds outside of tuition is from college football and men's basketball.
Yep.
So I'm not trying to knock the other sports. That's what it basically, everybody who got up there was mentioning them two perspective on how they was getting money, how they was doing this, how they was doing that. So it was a you even had a mid-major panel up there. You remember your Pepperdine.
Yeah.
Athletic director was there, and they was trying to say their challenges, but how they're going about it. So I think it was very
You told me that they even have a plan, because their previous plan was, they can come to school in Malibu. It's like, well, that doesn't really work. Maybe that works for, a lot of 18-year-olds without aspirations of playing high-level sports, but it does not work at that capacity.
So, so it was interesting the way Pepperdine went about it. So the other universities was pretty much saying, it's only 1 or 2% of kids is going to be eligible for a national company's NIL.
Sure.
So the way you attack it is you stay within 200 miles of your school.
Yep.
Because a lot of those people either went to the institution or they kind of
have familiarity.
Familiarity. They family member went, what I mean?
Sure.
And so they was like local and regional businesses are the heart and soul. People think it's the, not to use their name, a FedEx or a Kroger's, but they like only
like
one.
Georgia with Delta, with I think T-Mobile maybe. Like they have the big brands there, yeah.
Yeah, but most people ain't getting it. But
correct.
They also have
right.
First rounders. So that's what them type of deals for. But Pepperdine was a little different, more saying, and some of the richer, is on the richer spots saying, we doing it more a case we let our alumni, our different business have, and they all say this, access.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, with them being in one of the richest areas in the world,
yes.
That's not like the people in Malibu don't always, they had to feel like that's their school because.
No, in fact, they usually hate them.
Yeah.
Like, I used to tell the story of, we have this giant cross that sits like right at the foot, like the foothill of the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this beautiful thing that's lit up. Well, Barbara Streisand didn't like that it was lit up after like 9 p.m. So she fought like the Coastal Commission to have us turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing. It's like, yes, you're in Malibu, and Malibu's like a bubble with extremely rich, like celebrity types and just mondo rich people. But they don't really like Pepperdine.
Yeah, like they were saying.
Like, we can't get an arena built. We've been trying. Like, we have the money raised for all these great facilities, and it's been impossible to build.
Yeah, and they were saying, like, unlike most communities, the people in Malibu didn't really graduate from
yep.
Pepperdine. They didn't went to schools all over. Even more of them probably went to UCLA.
UCLA. Or, heck, a lot of them are like, celebrities that didn't even go to college.
Yeah.
And so, they're also pretty anti-sports in general.
Mm.
A lot of them are.
Yeah, so they had a strategy.
Pam Anderson did love us, though.
Pam
Anderson was a big Pepperdine baseball fan. Like, she'd throw out the first pitch, like, at least once a year.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's worth going
yeah.
to baseball
that
games.
Was
You're talking about the Pam Anderson?
The Pam Anderson. Oh, yeah.
What's the beach?
Yes, from Baywatch.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, when you did the boat, people can see when you did the boat thing, I was like, that's a different video. She did star in that as well.
Yeah, I was trying to act like I was running.
But yes, Baywatch was Zuma. Yeah, Zuma Beach.
No, but so Pepperdine had their thing. The other mid-major was saying, of course, because it was a couple agents saying they asked their players, right, Jeff, how do you want to go after this?
Yeah.
Some players might say, I want the most money. Some might say, which is not hard in this generation to know.
Yes.
Some might say, I want where I'm going to get prepared the most to be a pro if you're on the level. Some might say, fit. And, of course, if all the fish the same, it is going to come back to money. But
I've always found the guys that say the last two, it's the numbers usually pretty even.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like the offers kind of, everyone kind of knows, all right, this is the price of said guy. And then you do get to pick, like, oh, well, I want to go where I like the coaching staff better. Like, but usually I've found it always starts with what's the number?
What's the number?
Right.
And so some of the other mid-majors saying, now that they know that if they talk to an agent, if the money is the highest thing, that's not why you would come to their schools. They can't compete on that level. And it's other strategy. And, you know, they also getting some kids who have to come down. Maybe
they're
paying a lot of, maybe getting paid a lot of money, but not in rotation. Now they need this to bounce back up and for them to have it. And one more thing, Jeff, that I thought was real. I didn't agree with it, but I thought was real informative. One of the most business guys, he was a multi-millionaire, billionaire in the room. He said, no job in corporate America you're ever going to go to an interview. And your first question is, how much I'm getting paid.
That's true.
So he was saying when you come on as a family,
yeah,
when you come to these places, that look a little crazy. Before we didn't did anything, the campus tour, you're not asking about what is your major. You're not asking like what is the nutrition. When you do that don't look right.
Yeah, the only thing I'd push back is there's a little tell your story in that. Like, that is true. Like, when I went and I interviewed with Google in between, like, my first job and going back to grad school. I didn't start the interview asking, what's this pay? But you also, A, they ask you what you're getting paid mm-hmm. before they start the process. And there's lots of other places that you can look and see, all right, what's the job I'm applying for? Like, you kind of have an idea of what the ballpark is. So there is kind of a tell your story in it. But I do get his point. His point is that's not the only reason you're interviewing for that job is not just the money.
Yeah, and I guess from a professional, it's like with anything, Jeffrey, that's the first thing somebody thinking about what they say.
For sure.
Now, this is some pushback with me talking to some college coaches in the room. Get what they said. No. I disagree with that. They say in this landscape, Jeffrey, and I'm glad that I know his parents listen to everything, they saying you shouldn't even go on a visit unless you know the numbers. Because they said they brought, it's a high major, they told me, they brought a kid on a visit, had a great time. He hits them back a few weeks later saying this his number. If they would have knew that was his number, they never would have wasted time bringing them on a visit because they know they couldn't match
right.
the number.
I guess this is the other thing. So you spend... Because I said we'll do it during the list, but let's do it now. Because I think it's, I told Herd when he was texting me on Friday, I was like, I just want to make sure you're back Monday because I think this is fascinating. Do you get the sense from everyone there that the way things are is sustainable?
I would say 50-50. I think this thing is going to go to a whole nother level. I think this is the foundation of it. But like I was telling you off air, when it first started because of the day that the judge hit the hammer,
yep.
Everybody at that point just was spinning. Even collectives, they didn't know how to build a proper collective. I was telling you over there, they were saying, oh, let me go get some of our alumni, our boosters. Now schools are finally figuring it out.
Yeah, so, a lot of them didn't organize properly. Like a lot of them filed as non, like they filed like they would do any other fundraising element of the school, which is we're a nonprofit. And then very quickly, like, no, you're not. This is for profit. And so, like, that's how, when people kept asking, how did Ole Miss get ahead? The way Ole Miss got ahead was whoever the attorney that they brought in early, he looked at everyone in the room and he goes, this is not a nonprofit. And so they actually got to get ahead when everybody else had to scramble and reorganize. Mm-hmm. They started as a for-profit entity. And so that gave them a massive head start from the legal side of things. And so... I guess the thing that I keep wondering about, like, it seems to me it's a system that works if you're winning. Because if you're winning, people are willing to... Like, in the end, average guy can never own his own sports team. Even though most of us, if we won the lottery, the first thing we'd look into is, can we buy a sports team? Now, we would quickly find out, like, we'd even with lottery money, like, no, we probably can't. So, I think there's kind of a... There's something related to the idea of, like, I can't own a sports team, but I can feel like I'm contributing to my team winning. And so there's an element of that. It works when people are, when you're winning, because everyone wants to keep, you know, going like, hey, this is great. Like, we're, you know, we're paying for this and it's all well and good. But take a couple of losses and then all of a sudden you're like, man, I gave like $5,000 this year to them. Like, we could have probably gone on a different vacation, or, you know, that's money that could have been spent doing something else. And so, like, that's kind of where I think it starts to get tricky. Now, it's entirely possible my hypothesis is wrong, and that we're just always going to be conditioned, like, all right, this is the cost of seeing our teams win. And maybe it can be sustainable. But I always just wonder, at some point, is an average person going to sit there and go, why am I spending all of this money when the school is making, I don't know, $100 million from a TV deal, from bowl games, from NCAA tournament, like all of these other avenues that they're making all the money, tickets, whatnot. Why am I the one that's having to fund it all? I do think eventually there's going to be a breaking point, but maybe I'm wrong. What is the sense amongst people that are in it every single day?
So, Jeff, when you told me that you wanted to talk about this Monday, I thought it was brilliant.
Thank you.
Because I don't think
that's usually not the case.
No, because I'm telling you, people are so intrigued with this to the point, Jeff, we would have to go on live or something before. We don't have enough time for the breakdown. You feel what I'm saying? We got so much other
stuff. There's so many issues. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's one of those things where the topic's so big. It's like, what's the first question to ask? I guess maybe that's where I'd start. If you're sitting there going, I'm trying to explain all this, what do you think is the first, where should we start? And is there a clear starting point?
So it ain't, this is almost, Jeff, like if you was to give me like these commercials, like the new chicken Big Mac or just anything, you got to cut it. It's no way. I tried it over there. There's no
chicken
way you
Big
can
Mac?
Bite it. Yeah, it's actually
How
good,
was it?
Though.
Okay, yeah. I figured as much.
Yeah, but anything, I know I ain't trying to promote nobody, but any big meal, you have to cut this thing up, Jeff, because like what you just said about when they broke that down. Now, and they had, and Jeffrey, 95% of people with money thinks like you, and 95% of the people that just love sports think like you. But in their head, they want to have official meetings with people who spending money and tell them, we're not making this about wins and losses. We want to. No, I'm telling you.
Keep going.
I'll tell you, this is the strategy that they saying you should come with. You are investing and the school, the this, the that, the certain things, but we don't want to make it all. We win the championship. Let's say you're a $50,000 guy.
Sure.
Not to knock the $5,000, but they're looking for like.
Right. I'm giving good money. I'm not the guy that's going to practice every day, but at the same time, they do have to call and check up on me every 6 months or so.
And they say you got to be organized with that. Not every 6 months. You need somebody on staff who hitting people up once a month. Like you were doing a real business, giving them email.
The old client. Making sure your client management.
Yeah, just showing them the numbers every month, what's going on. So in their head, Jeff, they want people to feel like they don't want them to give them $100,000 when they win it, and in a down year, only give them $5,000 because they can't stay sustainable. So that's one way they want to go about it, Jeff. The other thing, when we were just talking about the visit, I just wanted to throw this in. Even Deion Sanders said, I don't know if you remember a year ago, he was like, listen, I would rather them be on email every kid saying what they want. You don't remember that? He was saying that way, we ain't got to go through all this crazy.
We don't have to waste time. We don't have to waste. To your point, it's the exact same scenario of the kid that showed up on campus. Coaching staff thinks they got a shot, and then they find out the number, and it's like, well, we just wasted everybody's time.
Exactly. So they're going, and you know what, Jeff? I don't know who made that unhuman or unprofessional, because in reality, you can be a millionaire. If you're going to another job, 9 times out of 10, now it could be that you're happier, but I'm just talking about the average person. You're probably going because you think it's more money for you and your family. So let's just
get I think 9 times out of 10 that's the case, if not even more.
If not more so. But some, I don't know if owners have created this to make us not want to talk about it, but it's like,
you should. It shouldn't be inappropriate to know, like, the want to know how much you're making. Now, me and you both said this, and I know I'm going to different because this is like a FedEx. It's so many elements to this thing. Me and you have said this also. With the inflation and stuff, people think that some of these numbers that are big are not
right.
big. And so
when I've always felt like the number that you hear more times than not, this isn't a 100%, this isn't a certainty, but more times than not, the number that you hear is a lot like an NFL contract when the agent wants the number out there.
Yes.
Because NIL deals are not, it's like you could make this, but like with the NBA and with Major League Baseball, they're guaranteed money. So we don't have this spinning of, well, this guy made this much money, could make this much money. They always get the highest number possible out there more times than not mm-hmm. for marketing purposes to let other people know we're spending.
Yeah, yeah. And so one of the things on the board, too, Jeff, they was talking about as far as the, like you say, collective and how to raise money and different things like that, like I was telling you, and contracts and things like that. One guy was saying the difficulty in it is people want them to run it like a pro team.
Yeah.
And like, oh, just go hire a pro GM and a pro that. But then he like, no, but these kids still got to go to school. They got to do this. They got to do that. I mean, it was so much things thrown up. But then another guy got on stage and said, I think this is harder than running a pro team because it is like a pro team. But you also have the same stuff we talking about. We have to watch them. We have to feed them. We have to also check on their grades. We still responsible, even though they're adults. Well, I guess now they're not on campus, so you don't have to be responsible for that.
But this is the guy I want to talk to, because this guy that you're mentioning, this guy's dealing in reality.
Mm-hmm.
The other people that, because like when you say you had someone get up there, and I'm not saying that it's messaging when you know we're trying to. It's not about the wins and losses. Well. That's not necessarily a bad long-term strategy, because if it's effective and you start to create an environment where people give despite not being successful, well, that's still going to give you a better shot. The problem is that's not practical, in mm-hmm. my opinion, mm-hmm. because eventually what's going to happen is, if I'm right, now it's entirely possible that I'm wrong, and I get why they're doing this strategy where it's a lot like Cobb and I have always talked about, it's a lot like tithing to the church. Like, if you get people, like, this is, it's 10%, it goes to the church every month, no matter what. Well, now I can keep that going. And it's not, we don't really sit there and raise our hands and ask, you know, hey, church, can we see, you know, we need to see the financials. Like, you know, like, what are we paying the choir director? Like, you know, like, I got to be honest, I haven't been tapping my toe quite as much on Sunday mornings, and I want to see if there's some other people out there. Like, we're not doing that, but if you can get people to do that, then that's effective. Do you see what I'm saying?
Jeff, do you still go to Hope?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be real with you. I go to Oak Grove. I think we have became friends,
mm-hmm.
but if you do that, I'm going to be right with the deacon and act like I'm a Paul.
Well, the problem is,
I got to ride with the church.
The problem is my mom will be the person that calls me. Like, my mom will be like, are you calling out the church, like, publicly? Like, my mom would be the one that would shun me.
Yeah,
she's like,
I'll be a little scared of that too, Jeff.
Yeah, my mom, like, both my parents have been deacons and, I think, elders. So, like, yes, they're the ones that are going to end up giving me the phone call. That, or I would end up eventually, if it was so problematic, I would eventually start getting the phone calls from the pastors.
So,
the problem with them knowing my parents.
And in my church, I grew up in, my mother would probably throw something at me for doing.
Correct. So, it is, now, again, I'm not calling out the music direction, but I'm just saying, if I'm, you know, like, that's the difference, is that if you're able to convince people to make it like giving to the church, well, you've created a system where it's like, we're not really going to have to respond to blowback and criticism. But that also runs completely counter to what we know about. Like,
so another idea they said, like you said, you can't own a sports team. I give a lot of good examples, especially off air. Some of them I can't do on air. That was really good too, Jeff, with the church.
That's what we all do, yeah.
But another thing that they was trying to say about the wins and losses situation was, like you said, if you can get people to, oh no, that's the point I was trying to make. How you said about you can never own a sports team.
Right.
So outside of win and losses, people who feel like they got access is willing to pay a lot of money. So they were saying, like, even these guys get to come to practice once a week, once a month, even to the point that they had a big game. I don't know if Woj or somebody was saying the mid-major beat the high major. They let, like, most of them come in the locker room after when they was getting crunk. They thought that was the best experience ever, the people that was giving money and boosters and the lump. So they were saying also accessing them feeling like it's theirs and being a part of decisions.
Taking ownership. I guess this would be the follow-up, though, I would ask to them. What is the age bracket of the people that – because my theory is that there are plenty of people that are still like that. And honestly, most of them skew probably 50 or older. But that's also not a bad strategy because you know who usually has more expendable income? Those people.
Yeah.
But what I've started to notice is that particularly in my generation, as my generation's getting into their 30s and their 40s, we are a lot, we're not as big a jock sniffers.
Yeah.
And like, we don't really, like, that's the thing. Like, we don't really care about going to practice as much. Like, we kind of just want to see our team win, and then we want to, like, immediately go and harass our friends. Like, that's, it's become more of a transactional thing. So, I'm not saying that it's not possible for people to pivot, but I have felt like the access strategy is going to diminish more and more, because I think when you start to have to, like, this thing isn't going to just go forever. Like, that's where I would be curious to know. Now, it's entirely possible I'm wrong. Like, hey, man, we got, like, 32-year-old tech guys that are, they can't wait to go to practice. Maybe that's the case.
Well, you threw something else. You got those kind of guys. I'm with you on that, Jeff. My thing is, this might sound crazy, and I'm not trying to knock people our age. If I was raising money for anything, unless it was a personal friend, I would actually be looking for people mostly 50 and older anyway.
So yeah, sure.
I mean, anything I was doing.
No, it's like, who do I not have to work? More times than not, if I go to the people 50 or older, their checks are going to cash.
Yeah, and then when you said that word, I was looking for it in my head, the spendable income. When you was talking about the guy that, oh, they losing so I could go on another vacation, I don't think they asking him. They used that word, the spendable.
Yes.
And you even on our level, yeah. Like, even though I'm young, I done been to a couple of the stretch spots.
Yeah.
And the way they sell it to you is, you know, they're looking for people with disposable income. Because somebody who ain't got disposable income, even as low as I am, they can't afford to go get stretched. They don't want to get stretched. They got to eat or stretch. It ain't even the same.
You need people. Let's be real. You also need people that most of the kids are out of the house.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge part of it. Like,
yeah.
Because more times than not, it's not like, oh, maybe this month I don't have the money. But if Josephine needs something and mama sees that Josephine needs something, and then all of a sudden, because I spent $2,000 to try and get a new tailback because I wasn't really happy about how we were running the ball between the tackles. It's a lot like the conversations I have with my wife when my wife has, in her mind, I have never won gambling. I've only lost gambling. And you know why? She forgets the weeks that I win. She always remembers, though, the weeks that I lose. And, like, that's kind of, I think it's in the same mold. But I guess this is the other thing is, do people in these rooms, to a certain degree, I understand that they can go, listen, we could debate what structures we need and whatnot. But in reality, it's like that's really just hearing ourselves talk because it's not getting done. So the situation is now just live in the reality that you're living in. And when the rules change, we'll figure it out, whatnot. But like, do you think people in that room think that what we have right now is going to be the case for, I don't know, let's say like the next decade?
Well, they do. They think it's getting bigger. Now, they are concerned, like you said. A lot of people say, like you just said, if I'm a rich guy, what makes me just keep giving money that I'm really not getting nothing off of? So everybody is concerned about that. Now, when you're raising money, Jeff, I don't know. I know you'd have been a part. I'm a part of this big project that's coming up. I don't have any money to give, but for some reason, if it's sports, they think I'm powerful enough.
You know a lot of people.
Yeah, they think that. Even they ain't even putting me over raising money. They just want me at the meetings too, and they want me to speak.
Who do we need to talk to?
Yeah. So I'm not involved in none of that. But what I have learned through that process, and you probably been new to this, and I'm sure they're doing this with certain boosters, to keep a business going, they are probably getting, I know with the team that I'm working with now, 5-year agreements from everybody.
Yeah.
So just prime example, like let's say this one group offer, and I know you've been using smaller numbers. I'm going to kind of use a five-year, $500,000.
They're basically doing it like when you – they're doing it like capital campaigns, like what we used to do when we were trying to build new stadiums or build a new wing of the stadium, which is I try to get five-year commitments from people at whatever, 10 a year or whatever, however, like, but they're trying to do it that way.
Yeah. So I guess there's
pledges, is the word, yeah.
Pledges. So if you're trying to speed it up, like let's say it's a $10, $15 million, I know we low. There's one group, 500,000, 5 years, boom, we got 2.5 million. So I'm guessing where people can't get hot and cold, and even if a person fall out of love with it, business people usually when they give you their word or something, they at least go to 5 year. In that case, you thinking by the time he done rolled over, this, we done got some more people hyped. So, because I guess that's
my stupid computer.
The only way that, I'm guessing that's the only way that it could work. Because if you just depend on people year to year, I think that's walking on eggshells and the kind of sticky, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'll say this. Last week, so Ole Miss loses the heartbreaker to LSU. Kiffin, on his Monday press conference, like, did the whole thing, answered questions. And then he, like, kind of left and then came back and was like, hey, I got something to say. And basically what his premise was, it's a good thing that everybody's upset about losing because they thought we should have won. Like that means we've changed expectations. We've changed the reality here. But implied in his comments were, if you want to make sure that the standard is the standard, like you got to keep giving. And like that's part of it. And so that's why I actually think Ole Miss the rest of the year is a fascinating case study. Because Ole Miss was a school that kind of was ahead of the curve in the getting everybody to buy in. Like, NIL kind of became like a fad, like giving to the NIL. It kind of became cool and whatnot. But now you've taken 2 3-point losses, and your season's not over with, because I think that's the other thing. It's going to take time for people to realize, like, nobody's really getting through this thing unscathed. Mm-hmm. So losses are going to happen. But what does the rest of the team do? Because they have a situation where you're playing Oklahoma this week, and Oklahoma just fired their entire offensive staff, and you know you're like 19-point favorites, but Oklahoma does have a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they held Texas in check for at least a quarter and a half, and their defense finally just gave out. Like, they've been a pretty good defense. But then you have to go to Arkansas, a place that's been tough for them to play, and then you have Georgia coming to town, and it's like all of a sudden, okay, like, is this you win and you're right back in the playoff picture? Probably so. But at the same time, it's like, what happens if you don't win? And then all of a sudden you've got Florida, Mississippi State. What is the mindset of those teams going to be? And that's kind of what I care about in this NIL world is when things are going well, the system works, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is what happens when things start. Like, and it's not even like Ole Miss has fallen apart. They've lost 2 games by 3 points each. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? But they're losses. And so what happens next?
So y'all won last week, right? Saturday, y'all had a bye.
For the record, it's my wife's team. I don't care.
Oh, okay. So,
but no, they lost to at LSU, and then they had a bye week this week.
Bye week. Yeah. That's what I mean. And so I think the only thing Ole Miss fans want, because we all crazy, is what Tennessee just did. They kind of want them to eventually, you know, the Georgia. If y'all beat Georgia, everybody's going to be
excited. I think it's fair to say this. Ole Miss fans didn't have the expectation of being a national champion. They did have the expectation of being one of the 12 teams in the playoff.
Yeah, and I can see that possibly happen. Now, this is one big sale, because there's so much coming to my head, Jeff. Like I say, we would have to go live and do a podcast to just do a 3-4 hour of this.
Series.
Series. Yes. Another thing that they were selling was especially places that don't have pro teams. Your college football and or men's basketball is so the only reason, because they also say this, how many colleges are closing per weekend
rather
than year. And the ones that are open that's drawing more students, it has been driven by how much your football and basketball team success.
A tale as old as time.
Yeah. And
we want to go where
they've been saying that. Yeah. Or even where. So they was even saying you take a place like Spokane, Washington in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Just because the basketball team has been so successful, because that's what's bringing, you know, business up.
Yep.
They saying that place is awesome. They are building all kind of crazy new stuff.
I mean, it's the Nick Saban. It's the argument when people kept saying, how can you pay a football coach this? And every Alabama president would always say the same thing. Look at all this we've built. It's all because this guy came here and winning came. Schools went up. You know, the applications went up.
Yeah.
More out-of-state kids that pay more money. Like, it all goes up and up. Donations go up. Yes, it's the same idea. What I wonder, though, is when you start to see, okay, we're winning, but we're funding everything, and they're just sitting on this other pile of money that could be used for everything else that we're talking about. It's like, does anyone ever raise their hand and go, why are we the only ones funding this?
So this is what happens with that, Jeff, because you've been good on examples today. It's going to be calm. The boosters and the NIL people are going to want to put the schools on NCAA support. What do you mean by that, Herb? Well, in the urban community, usually when parents split, one of them is doing all the work, and guess what the other one do to get the other one to do something? It's called child support.
Yes,
you get tired of being the only person that's doing something. I think NILs are going to finally at some point challenge schools, because that's what the other parents saying. I didn't pay for tuition. Right. I didn't pay for this. They live with me. I'm feeding them. Even to somebody that might be rich, they like, you're an entertainer. You're on the road all the time. This is what it sounded like on the backside. Like, at some point, the school have to do nothing. Because now in the school, you're showing who you are. First, you could blame it on the NCAA, the reason you couldn't do it.
Now you're running out of people to blame.
Yeah, now you're running out of people to blame because what's the guy named Steph? It was on the thing. One of the big guys on ESPN, Steph Green. Anyway, one of them.
Seth Greenberg?
The other Steph.
The coach?
Is it? Not the coach. Look at that text I sent you.
All right, I'm looking.
So anyway, so when Steph spoke, he was saying no matter what happened, the reason he's glad this is going on is because no matter how much the NIL and the boosters and everybody whine, they weren't spending this much. They have been doing this anyway to coaches forever. You know, some of the big coaches' salaries not just coming from the school. Some of the boosters were chimed it up to say, oh, we willing to give 10 more million. We willing to get this more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he was just saying that we got to figure out how to make it work. But these kids definitely, they was like, your labor is finally getting paid. And the labor of the athletes are why we got the TV deals, or why we got the coaches paying what they got. And so however we figure it out, we're not saying it's perfect, but we definitely had to figure this out.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, there's no high, like, even Andy Reid, who's highly paid, he ain't making what Mahomes is making. I mean, in the NFL, like, that's the other thing. In professional sports, like, your players make more than your coaches. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's figure out what's going on with the Tiger basketball program. We'll discuss that with Munns next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is having a huge 47th anniversary sale, and you got to hurry up and get into the stores now because it ends this weekend. For the 47th anniversary, that means you get 47% off one item in the stores, or you can BOGO. Buy one, get one free. Buy a 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for only $15.99 and get a pair of half-carat diamond stud earrings for free. Or you can buy a 5-carat lab-grown tennis bracelet for only $27.99 and get a pair of 1-carat diamond stud earrings for free. You can even get the 10-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for only $49.99 and get a pair of 2-carat diamond stud earrings for free. It's the only way to celebrate 47 years of making memories here in Memphis. They also have lots of financing options, and you can get that can give you time to get it now and get it before the holidays. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They now have two locations in Little Rock, the McCain Mall in North Little Rock, and the Diamond Showroom in the Pleasant Town Center next to the Fresh Market. Of course, these stores in Memphis as well. The great Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can also listen to Tiger Athletics podcast from the Commercial Appeal, where you get ever you get your podcasts on Twitter, on X at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is Revolution by the great Dr. John, the late great Dr. John.
Pretty funky. I like that. That's a good call.
Yep.
What's going on with Tyreek Smith?
What do you mean?
What's the status? Like, I know, like, well, because I was telling her, it's like, on one hand, this could be, like, on one hand, this could be kind of like the UNLV quarterback situation. On the other, like, I don't know, is it he said? What's the status, I guess?
Well, nothing is. Based on what I know, Tyreek Smith is still part of the program. He is still in Memphis. He has taken a few days off from practice. He was not at practice today, but everything that I've talked to his mother, I've talked to his representative slash mentor slash big brother slash. Best friend, and every indication that I have been given is that there are some things that need to be worked out, but everyone is confident they will be worked out. I'm sure you saw it, but his name is Helion Boog Knight.
Yes,
that is Tyreek's close personal mentor. He lived with him for a time in Texas before he went to college, so they are very, very tight. I did a story back whenever Tyreek signed where I talked a lot to Boog, and he was a big part of that story. And you saw the video, I'm sure,
yeah,
that he posted.
Because I think you quote tweeted it, right?
Yeah, where he basically said whatever was said about Tyreek telling Memphis that he was no longer part of the team is inaccurate.
So do we know what is accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The impression that I have been given is that there were some discussions that were had between Tyreek and Tyreek's circle and Memphis, in the beginning stages of this whole thing back in, whenever it was March or April, I forget exactly when it was,
yeah.
But when the courtship began, there were some discussions that were had that, my understanding, relates to NIL and, Tyreek's side does not feel like everything that was discussed in the beginning has been held up necessarily the way they understood it was going to be held up. And in the last few days, there have been some other things that have sort of made this whole issue come to a head that aren't related to NIL. But from my understanding, that part has blown over, and now we are strictly just dealing with basically getting back on the same page. Really, for lack of a better term, cleaning up a mess. And again, like I said, I've been talking to Boog and I've been talking to Tyreek's mother, and they are fully confident that things will get resolved, but there are some things that need to be resolved. So that's really where we are, is there was two sides of a coin that weren't exactly on the same page, and they're trying to work through it.
I guess this is kind of where I've had conflicting feelings. It's like, okay, on the one hand, I believe Tyreek is now on his fourth school in 5 years, correct?
That is correct. Started his career at Texas Tech, then went to Oklahoma State, then went to SMU, and is now at Memphis.
Okay. So on the one hand, it's like, if we didn't know everything, if we didn't have all the drama that we had previously, there could kind of be an element of like, well, what do you expect? Like, this is a situation where you've got a guy that has a habit of not fulfilling his long-term commitments, and here you are again. But it seems to me the difference is now, it's like, you did know this prior, and you still recruited him, and so therefore, like, were you kind of asking for the drama? And then where I also get kind of conflicted is, I think this happens a lot more frequently than probably the public realizes, but
oh, yeah.
It seems to have a tendency to get public here, and therefore it kind of... It self-perpetuates the idea that there's always chaos, or there's always something. And where I've really struggled is trying to determine whether or not that's a fair conclusion to reach here, or whether or not, like, that's kind of making something that's making something out of a
out of
situation.
That's
it's fairly commonplace. You know what I mean?
Yep. And, I think the truth is probably somewhere in there. I don't know that there's a hard truth, really, when you're looking at this scenario compared to other scenarios. I don't know that there's like a hard and fast truth to any of, to any part of it. But I do think that there are some elements of truth to be found and to be gleaned from the whole thing. I think it's true that, stuff does tend to get brought to light more here than a lot of places, than probably 97% of programs.
I honestly think maybe it might be higher, because this program how many other college, like, there's other big time programs, but I don't know how many other college basketball programs are covered as intently as Memphis is.
Right, very true. Now, on the flip side of that, I do think that there are, how many other programs in the last 5 years have dealt with...
Well, I mean, let's go through. Okay, so Jordan Brown, did Jordan ever get over the illness?
Well, he definitely got over it.
Yeah, that's right, he came back from the illness. We've had Imani with his biomechanics injuries, which
yep.
do not exist.
Right.
We have had I'm trying to think. I feel like
you had the on-court. You had the thing during the Gonzaga game during the timeout with Kendrick and Malcolm, Kendrick Davis and Malcolm Daniels.
We also didn't. Sort of, we also had a Kendrick timeout in the FAU game.
Yes. Was it the FAU? That's what
I think. You're FAU because Gonzaga Kendrick wasn't at the FAU game because Kendrick wasn't at the. I think the Gonzaga game was fairly.
Yeah, they had
the double-digit lead, and then who was the 11th-year senior big man that finally got going in the second half? Mustache.
Oh, Drew Timmy.
Yeah Timmy got going in the second half. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, but we had the FAU one. But, like, we've also kind of had, like, a revolving door of guys just kind of mysteriously kind of leaving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had J.J. Taylor leave last December. And then, of course, the stuff this past offseason with the walk-on Joe Cooper, you know, yeah, they're like dirty laundry seems to find its way to the spotlight really, really well, really, really frequently at Memphis. But no, I mean, I do think, and I was talking mainly about, you know, the investigations and the and all those sorts of things. Like, you know, to be fair, I don't know too many. Prominent programs that have dealt with quite as many NCAA brushes with the NCAA as Memphis had. So you got to be fair. You know, maybe on one side, it is overblown. It is taking things that sort of do tend to happen at a lot of places that don't get covered the same way they do here. But also, Memphis does do its fair, is responsible for its fair share of the stuff.
I did not see anybody else fire their entire coaching staff in September.
No.
Well, and again, maybe that's the right decision. Maybe that ends up being for the best, but it's like that. It's the same type thing. It's like there are things that are completely out of the normal and you just cannot dismiss them.
But in terms of this particular thing that we're talking about now,
yeah, this feels pretty standard.
I don't know that anybody deserves, like, if we're trying, I know it's like human nature to want to assign blame and look for motive and all this other stuff, like when we're talking about things like this, but like, I don't think there's anything, I think that is not, it's not fruitful to try. I think you're going to, anybody trying to do that is going to just wind up frustrated. Like, I don't know that there is "quote unquote blame" to be assigned to anyone in this particular instance, based on what I understand
and
to be happening.
Honestly, that's why I used the example of the UNLV quarterback, because I think this was a similar situation in the sense that the difference to me was both sides didn't like have their story ready to go to the media, but it's kind of the same thing where it's like, okay, I think that I'm owed this. You think I'm owed that. Like, we're not square right now. And both sides kind of have the, to me, it's like UNLV, the quarterback came in and said, "Hey, I have all these opportunities. You said you were going to give me this." And UNLV's like, "No, we're good. We got a backup that we think is as good as you. We're not going to, like, we're just going to move on." Like, we have both parties made a decision and it got blown out of proportion because it hit like the right notes. And to me, it seems like this is kind of the same thing. It like hits the right notes about what we believe one way or the other about the quote unquote system in play. But in reality, it sounds to me like a pretty run of the mill thing.
Again, there may be elements of what's happening right now with Memphis and Tyreek Smith that do match up, that do align with, that are similar to the UNLV quarterback deal. But, I do not think that, like, I would not be so quick to assume that one side went to the other and said, "Hey, what about this? We were told this," and the other side was like, "Well, sorry." Like, I don't. That's not what this is. This is I believe that Memphis is trying its best to resolve this situation and get back to business. So that's where I'm at on that.
All right, before we let you go, we actually did get a look at the basketball team last Wednesday.
We did.
What'd you think?
Was it Wednesday? I don't remember what day it was.
Was it Wednesday or Tuesday? No, but it was Tuesday. You're right. I think it was you're right. It's Tuesday because Cerrito was in here. It was Tuesday. You're right.
I thought it was there was good, bad, and there was ugly. I mean, I hate to get all cliche, but like that's genuinely how I felt. And I mean, you know, that's about what I expected. It's the first time a whole new team. You know, everybody's playing together for the first time, really. There was no Musa Cisse. It was North Carolina, albeit without R.J. Davis. Still North Carolina. I thought there was, you know, like I really liked the second half out of P.J. Haggerty. First half didn't quite – took him a little while to get going, but once he got going, it looked good. Really liked what I saw out of Baraka Okoji. Jared Harris did some really, really nice things. Speaking of Tyreek Smith, 8 points in 15 minutes with a few rebounds and a couple of steals. Like, that's pretty good. Dane Danger did not have a very good night. Tyrese Hunter did not have – the guy you brought here to make threes was 2 of 11 from three. There was a bunch of turnovers. You know, it was
oh no,
more than what I what's wrong.
Sorry, I think because we were talking Tyreek Smith, the Illuminati were coming after you.
Oh, I see.
We go back to Colby Rogers because I did not have 2 for 11 on my bingo card for him from three.
I mean, again, it was the first game.
I'm willing to say that's a sample size issue because it's been proven he's a pretty good shooter over multiple years.
Four seasons, he's shooting roughly 40% for over four seasons. You got to think that that's an anomaly. I thought it was there was some good, there was some bad, there was some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.